Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to our weekly Tehillim class. Just a note of housekeeping. This will be our last class until Elul time. I'm going away for a little break for the first time in 2 years. It'll be very nice to get away to clear my head a little bit. But we are off until Elul time. So again, pay attention to the weekly, to the Zoom chat for more information about that. We are marching through our study of the book of Tehillim. We are on chapter 59 of Tehillim, which is the third part in a series that all open up in the exact same way. They all explain episodes of David's life when he was in danger, and because he was in danger, when he pleads to Hashem to save him. Now, there are two parts, major parts. The Malbim disagrees. He breaks it up into three parts. We'll break it up into two parts. That's how the Das Mikra does it. But there are two major parts to the structure of this chapter of Tehillim. That Psukim 2 through 10 is David's request to Hashem to deliver him from the evildoers, praying for the downfall of these traitors. That is the first section. Second section is Hashem, David expressing his trust in Hashem, that he will indeed bring that downfall of his enemies. And then, again, it's really a third section, but the Das Mikra clumps it together with that second section, is that David is going to express his gratitude. He's going to sing songs of praise to Hashem for the salvation that is going to come. So if you're a little bit late, we are doing chapter 59, which again is the third of the section of Tehillim that we've been studying. They all start the same way, essentially. L'manatzeach al tashchis. Hashem, do not destroy. L'David michtam b'shloach Shaul v'yishmeru es habayis l'amito. Right now, of course, this is a very specific historical incident, as have the other three chapters, the other two chapters that we've been studying. So if you like the history of Sefer Tehillim, and not necessarily the inspiration of Sefer Tehillim, then these three chapters are definitely for you. But it's L'Manatzeach. It is for the conductor. Oh, no, I'm going to the wrong screen. L'Manatzeach al tashchid l'David michtam b'shloach Shaul. Sorry, I'm having an allergy attack. V'yishmeru es habayis l'amito. When Shaul sent men to watch over David, to put him to death. What story is it that we are talking about here? So if you go to chapter 19 of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, chapter 19 is really the first time that Shaul comes after David to kill him. And the Pasuk in chapter 19, verse 9, tells us, Vatihi ruach Adonai ra'a el Shaul, right, that this evil spirit came over Shaul, V'hu b'beiso yoshev v'chaniso b'yado. He's sitting in his house, and a spear is in his hand. V'David minagein b'yad, and David is playing a musical instrument. So again, we've watched enough movies to know that if one character is playing a musical instrument, sweet and innocent, and the other one is holding a spear, that is foreshadowing the events that are about to befall us. V'yivakesh Shaul lahakos b'chanis b'David. Shaul tries to pin David, uvakir, right, Shaul tries to pin David to the wall with his spear, vayiftar mipnei Shaul, but David is able to elude Shaul, vayach es hachanit bakir, so he drives the spear into the wall, v'David nas vayimaleit balaylahu, so David has to run away, and he is able to get away that night, vayishlach Shaul wants to find David, vayishlach Shaul melachim el beis David lishamro, Ulahamiso Baboker. That's exactly this chapter that we're talking about. Shaul sends messengers to watch David at night, to essentially guard him, to make sure he doesn't escape, and then to kill him in the morning. Now you understand the first pasuk of our chapter, Vaishmeru Asabayis Lahamiso. This is the first pasuk of our Sefer Tehillim, our chapter of Tehillim, chapter 59, where Shaul, Bishloach Shaul, Vaishmeru Asabayis Lahamito, Shaul sends these people to David's house to guard him, and to kill him in the morning. Back to Sefer Shmuel. Vatageid leDavid Michal ishto leMor. So Michal says to David, "Im eincha memaleid es nafshecha alayla machara tamumas. You got to get out of here. If you don't escape tonight, for sure you are going to be killed tomorrow." Vatorid Michal as David bada chalon. Michal lets David escape through the window. Vayelech vayivrach vayimaleid. David HaMelech is able to escape. Now, of course, David is married to Michal, and Michal is the daughter of Shaul. So here you have Michal saving her husband at the expense of her father, who obviously wants to kill David. So Michal aids and abets this fugitive named David. Vatikach Michal eta trafim. Michal takes the idols. We know this from Sefer Bereishis. Vatasem el hamita ves kavir izim samamira shosav vatechas babeget. Anyone who's familiar with a movie, let's pick Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? When you wanted to skip school, but you didn't want your parents to notice, so you put a little image of a person there with like the fake head sticking out. So that's exactly what Michal does here. Michal pretends like there's someone lying in the bed. So that when in Pasuk 14, Vayishlach Shaul Malachim Lakachas es David, Vatomer Cholahu. So that when Shaul sends more messengers, or second set of messengers, which you're going to want to pay attention to, so when he sends the messengers to find David, to grab him, Vatomer Cholahu. Michal says, I'm really sorry, he's sick. So the messengers come back, and Shaul is beyond himself. Right? Vayishlach Shaul al Malachim. Liro says, David Lemor, Shaul sends back the messengers, and he says to them, Ha'alu oso b'mitai lai lamiso. Right, get him out of bed. What do I care that the guy has a cold? I'm about to kill him. So he'll die with a cold. What's the big deal? In other words, the messengers bought the excuse. Oh, he's sick. Let's come back. Save his life for a week. No, David sends back and says, Shaul sends back and says, no, I'm going to kill the guy. I don't care if he's got a fever. I don't care if he's got COVID. It doesn't matter. He's going to get hanged soon. As the messengers come back, they find this ruse. Shaul is not happy. Why did you trick me and allow my enemy to run away? So Michal says back to Shaul, "Hu amar elai shalcheni lama amitech." Right? Michal is very smart. And she says that I didn't want to let him go. But David told me that if I don't let him go, he's going to kill me. And so I had to. I didn't have a choice. I had to save my life. So it's obviously not what happened, but she's trying to save herself right now. V'tavid barach v'imalei v'yivo al Shmuel ha-maramasa v'yagelo es kol asher asa Shaul v'yelechu u'Shmuel v'yashvu b'nayot. Right? And then David is able to run away. He comes to Shmuel. Vayagad l'Shaul le'mor hinei David b'nayot b'ramah. That David is there. And again, then we come to the chapters that we read over the past few weeks of Shaul chasing after David. So that is all the backdrop to this chapter of Tehillim. A little bit of a long backdrop, but that is the backdrop to this chapter of Tehillim. It's the first time that Shaul comes to kill David. Again, David is married to Michal, Shaul's daughter. And what's interesting is that despite the fact that very clearly this chapter is about Shaul, you'll notice that in the first set of psukim, it does not mention Shaul whatsoever. It refers to this generic set of enemies, and we have to explore a little bit why that would be the case. So with that backdrop, let us jump right in to an understanding of chapter 59 of Tehillim. Lama Naseach, Al Tashcheis L'David Michtam Bishloach Shaul. When Shaul sent Vayishmeru as Abayis Lamito, and he sent people to guard over the house in order to kill him. Hatzileni me'oivai Elohai. David says to Hashem, save me from my enemies. Mimiskomemai tisagveni, from those who rise up against me. Please save me. Mimiskomim, says Mitzudas David, me'anashima kamim alai, from the people who are rising up against me. Please Hashem, can you save me? Hatzileni mipoale aven. Please save me from evildoers. Umeanshe damim hoshieni, and people who are seeking out my blood, in other words, murderers. Can you save me from them as well? The Malbim points out over here that what's the difference between mipoale aven and meanshe damim? What's the difference between an evildoer and a murderer? So the Malbim points out, Hatzileni mipoale aven hu neged oivav bitzina. Shemedabrim alav lashanara. That there are people who want to kill me in private, and they do so by speaking slanderously against me. And then, what's me'anshei damim hoshieni, hu neged miskomim sherotzim leratzcho. Those are the people who hate me overtly, in other words, externally. So some speak negatively behind my back, they stoke the coals, they spread slanderous things about me, and then there are those who actively seek to kill me. That is the two parts to that pasuk according to the Malbim. Ki hine oy arvu lenafshi yaguru alai izim. Because they lie, arvu means like in wait. They lie in wait for me. Yaguru alai uzim. They plot against me. Lo pishi Velo chatasi Hashem. And David says, for no reason. Right? It's not because I did anything wrong. It's not because I sinned at all. If you look over, do I have anything? Yeah. Okay, no, so that's the pshat of the pasuk. Again, David says, I didn't do anything wrong with them. They're lying in wait for me, and I did not do anything wrong. Bali avon yirutzun v'chananua, right? For no guilt of my own are they coming after me. Ura likrasire. Hashem, get up and look on my behalf. Now, there are two ways of understanding this pasuk. Who's the bali avon yirutzun v'chananu? So the Malbim points out, dahainu shechoshvin, Shein lehem avon bazeh. According to the Malbim, here we are talking about who's not guilty. We're talking about the people trying to kill David. They think they're doing nothing wrong. Shechoshvim shein lehem avon bazeh. V'shemutr lehem lahargeni, says the Malbim. They think that they are permitted to do whatever they want to me, to kill me. And then he says, Hashem ura likrasi. Rotzalomar amad al tzad hamagbi likrasi. Shutzad shel hashulchan sheishiv shaul. In other words, show them urei v'yishkiach shelo yivtza esmach shavato, that they will not be successful. Other mafarshim understand it differently, that the guru alai, in other words, who is the one who is not sinning here? It is David. David is saying that it's not my sin that is causing any of this, but rather it is them who are just randomly trying to kill me. So again, two different ways of understanding Pasuk 5. Pasuk 6. Ve'ata Adonai Elohim Tzvaot, Elohei Yisrael, Hakitza, Lifgod, Es HaGoyim, Hashem, you, the God, bring all of the nations, Lifgod, in other words, bring them to justice. Al Tachon Kol Bigdei Aven Sela. Okay? Al Tachon Kol Bigdei Avon Sela. Right? Have no mercy on them. Tachon from Chanun. Have no mercy on those who are doing evil. Sela. Again, anytime you see the word Sela, that is the end of a section. That's what leads the Malbim to put a break right here. But again, not everyone does that, so that's not the way we broke it up. What is the connection here? Very strange pasuk that we say in pasuk 6. Ve'ata Hashem Elokim Elohei Utzvaos Elohei Yisrael Hakitza Lifgod Es HaGoyim. Take justice against the Goyim. Who are the Goyim here? Right, we're talking about, don't forget, the historical context is that there is a group of soldiers lying in wait outside David's house, and they are searching to kill him. So the Radakari points out and says, Pasuk zeh einu nikshar lo lefanav lo la'acharav. This pasuk has nothing to do with what came before it, and it has nothing to do with what came after it. We're talking about an isolated historical incident, and all of a sudden you jump in and tell me all this stuff about how Hashem should take revenge against the nations of the world. What do I care about the nations of the world? What do I care about the nations of the world? In other words, again, if this is an isolated incident, why do I care what the nations of the world are doing? And why should Hashem exact justice against them? So says the Radak, Amar David, Kishera Shayirod Fimacharav Belo Chet Vavin, when David saw that people were chasing after him with no sense of justice whatsoever. In other words, they had no qualms, they had no embarrassment. They were unabashedly chasing after him. And when he saw that no one was standing up for him, in other words, there was his sense of complete lawlessness, that no one was standing up to Shaul and saying, you can't just murder your son-in-law. It was even worse. Not just that they weren't defending David, but they were flattering Shaul. So David says to himself, Amar, lo ere sheye oso ador zakai ad laasid, lavo she'akadosh baruch hu yichale harishayim, ki atahu marich l'rishayim. He says at some point these guys are going to get it back. These guys are going to get their payback. Because while now Hashem is giving them a lot of leeway, Hashem is making the leash very long for them to behave whatever they want to do. V'inehu k'yashan. And Hashem appears like he's asleep and that he's not paying attention to their actions whatsoever. Lefichach, therefore, David says, Lifgod kol agoyim, ki az yuchlu harishayim mi kol agoyim, v'yavdu anisharim es Hashem shchem echad, v'lo yechonein od. In other words, David is saying that who are the lifgod al kol agoyim? That because when people see that there's this sense of lawlessness, so they think that everything is mutter. You see wicked people act without any consequence whatsoever. So some people might come along and say, God is sleeping. What's the big deal? David says that these Rishayim around the world, they're going to get it back big time, because eventually Hashem is always watching. Hashem is always paying attention, and he's going to pay them back for their nefarious actions against David. Who then is the subject of this pasuk? So according to the Radak, the subject of the pasuk is the soldiers. But he's showing that these soldiers, the consequence of them acting with immunity is that other people are going to get wind of it, and they're also going to want to act that way. The Malbim understands it a little bit differently. The Malbim understands it in a very beautiful way. He says, "Ba'asher ha'chalit, ba'asher ha'chalit bedato az levroch." When David starts running away, v'hu haya adata tzar tzvaos Yisrael l'chom ima plishtim. David, of course, was the general who successfully battled against the plishtim. Musar tzvaosav el Hashem shu ye'ata tzar tzva Yisrael v'ilachem milchamosem. David is not worried about himself here. This is a striking Malbim. David is being chased by his father-in-law. Nobody is coming to his defense. Not the soldiers, not the people in the castle. Nobody's coming to his defense. If I were David, you know what I would say? The heck with you all. What do I need you guys for? Right? You're going to sleep in the bed that you made. You chase after me. The police team are going to come. They're going to massacre you. It's going to be all your fault. David does not say that. David is running away. Nobody cares about him. Nobody is protecting him. And what does David care about? The Jewish people. He cares about the Jewish people. He's worried that now that he's no longer around to serve as the general to do battle against the Plishtim, so the Plishtim are now going to fight against the Jewish people. And David says to Hashem, you have to be the general for the Jewish people, right? Ata Hashem Elokim Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael Hakitza Lifkod Kol Agoim. You have to fight back, essentially, against all the nations of the world, right? Why? Because now they're going to sense the vulnerability. They're going to know that the Jewish general, the mighty, powerful Jewish general, is not around anymore, and they are going to take advantage of that vulnerability. I'm not there anymore to protect them. Hashem, so you, Lifkod, Kol Agoim, you have to take care, says the Malbim, of these enemies that are going to come and try to strike against you. What's amazing about this Malbim, it's according to the Malbim, as David is being chased, as he has no friends left whatsoever, he has every reason to be bitter and to exhibit hatred towards the Jewish people, toward Klal Yisrael, toward no one who is coming to his defense. And that is not what he does. That is not what he does. Nonetheless, he's asking Hashem, even in such a precarious situation, he's asking Hashem to take care of the Jewish people. Even as he runs away, even when he's going through a personally difficult time, he nonetheless, who is his care, who is his concern? None other than the Jewish people. It is a beautiful Malbim, and I think it tells you everything you need to know, really, about who David was and what his priorities were, which again, I think is beautiful. Pasuk 7, Yashuvu la'erev yamu kakelev v'yisovavu ir. David says they come at nighttime, like a growling pack of dogs, v'yisovavu ir, and they surround my house. They're like roaming the city. What is the city? Right? Obviously, weren't they just in my house? So what does it mean that they're in the city? So the answer is that, you know, sometimes when the guards come to the city, so they're not just at the house, but they're making sure no one stirs up trouble around. They're making sure that no one's causing problems. The Malbim here says this fits historically with the chapter of Tehillim, chapter in Sefer Shmuel, when it says, Yashuvu la'arab. They come back each night. This, says the Malbim, is when Shaul asks the soldiers to go back a second time to come get him, because they missed him the first time. They come, they see he's not in his house anymore. So they're searching all around the city. They're looking for David. They're like a pack of dogs roaming the city. Hine yabiyun befihem charavos besifsosehem. Right? They are yabiyun, which means like they speak in their mouth. Mitzvah Sion says yedabru. Right, they speak in their mouth. Charavos b'sifsoseihem. Their lips are like swords. Ki mishomea. Because what do they think to themselves? They think to themselves, who's listening? Who cares? Says the Malbim. Rak guruim hema mina klavim. Right, they're not just dogs, But this, says the Malbim, is actually a continuation of the previous pasuk. They are actually worse than dogs. Why? Ki haklavim rak minagvim velo medavrim. Right? Dogs just growl. They don't actually talk. These guys are talking. They're mouthing off. Number two, haklavim rak noshchim lo mamisim becherev. Right? Dogs just bite. They don't kill you with a sword. Here you have soldiers that are seeking out to kill you with the sword. Pasuk 9, Ve'atar nai tischach lamo, Hashem, my tvila to you is that you should laugh towards them. Tischach lamo, tilag l'goy l'chol agoyim, Hashem, you should mock all of these nations. Right, says the Radak, what is Ve'atar? Shetishma estivreyam. Right, you Hashem, in other words, they think that no one is listening, but you Hashem, shetishma estivreyam, you who are listening to them, tischach lamo. You should laugh at them. Says the Radak, Shelo yekoach lasos li kfi machshvoseim. Right? Make sure they can't do to me what they want. Ve'achshov divrayim l'schok. And make all of their plans into a laughter. Ka'adam shesochek v'loeg divrei sone shenu yarim venu. It's like, you know, when there's a lion behind the fence. So, in theory, I should be scared of the lion. But because there's this massive wall, so that's what leads kids to go up to them and go, la, 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 you know, like to make the funny faces. Trust me. There was no barrier there. No kid would be making fun of the animal. So David says, because I know that you're my protection, Hashem. So almost like someone who knows that they have that protective wall in between them and that which is dangerous, and they make fun of the animal, or they, you know, they smile and they do all these funny things to the animal because they're not afraid. So David says, that's how you should treat these enemies. Uzo elecha eshmora. Hashem, my strength is in you. And therefore, I wait for you, ki Elohim miskabe, because Hashem, you are my haven, you are my shelter. That, according to the Das Mikra, is the end of section 1 of this chapter of Tehillim. So again, you see that David is asking Hashem to deliver him from these people, these evildoers, an acute risk. David is literally being surrounded, he's running away, and he's asking Hashem to get rid of these evildoers. And then he davens for their downfall. Now we come to the expression of trust. The expression of trust and the expression of gratitude. Elohai, chazdi yekadmeni. Right, Hashem, come to my help. Elohim yareini bishorai. Hashem, let me gloat over my enemies. Who is chazdi? So if you read, if you look at it, it's a kriyuksiv. Is it chasidav or chazdi? So Chazdav, says the Mitzudas David, it's talking about Hashem. Hashem, ha'osa li chesed me'olam. Right? You, Hashem, are the one who does kindness. You, who always does kindness for me, yakdim li ha'chesed terem yilkadeni. Before they come and they're able to kill me, Hashem, please proceed it with your kindness, with your chesed, and save me. And now we have a very strange pasuk. Al targim. He davens to Hashem, please, do not kill them. Pen yishkechu ami hanemo b'chelcha v'horidemo. Lest my people forget about it. Right? Rather, what should you do? Right? Hanemo b'chelcha v'horidemo magineinu Adonai. Hashem, you should make them wander. In other words, you should elongate their punishment, and you should save me in the process. Says the Radak, Amar keneged hakel, al targem, pen yishkechu amim nikmas Hashem. Right, if you kill someone, think about it, it's a little funny, but if you kill someone, it's not the biggest revenge, because it ends, and then they're on to a new news cycle, right? So rather, what do we dive into Hashem? Ela yarich zmana nekama, drag out the revenge. She toridem me'ashram v'tanidem levakesh b'chacha v'him Yisrael, so that they will have to wander. And when they wander, they're going to have to come back to the Jewish people for help and for support. And that's going to be the greatest revenge. That's going to elongate this sense of punishment. So it's a very counterintuitive pasuk. But David says, don't kill them. Because I want to drag out the punishment. I want people to appreciate. Right? This, by the way, answers why we need a 10 plagues in Mitzrayim. Right? Why didn't Hashem just take the Jewish people out? One plague, bada bing, bada boom. No, the answer is by dragging it out. It makes an impression on everyone. It forces the enemies to come and to ask us for favors. And it gives us a greater appreciation of the miracles of Hashem. Right? Again, think about who we're talking about. Right? Al targem, Pen yishkechu ami. David doesn't want people to forget. He doesn't want them to just move on to the next news cycle. He wants us to be in the news for a long period of time so people will appreciate just how protective Hashem is of them. Chata'as pimo dvar sfaseimo v'yilkadu b'go'onam. Right, again, they are sinful in their mouths, their lips, they are v'yilkadu b'go'onam. Now, those are so arrogant, they're almost like trapped with their arrogance. Right, when you're so arrogant, you can't see beyond it. You can't fix yourself. You can't do tshuva. Umeala umi kachash yisaperu. And they are, right, they're uttering these lies. Right, me'ala umi kachash. They're lying, they're telling untruths, so to speak, as we say. Right, but again, they're not speaking the truth. Yakiru kizeh onesh hu onesh. Lev. Is that the correct continuation? Yeah, ki onesh lev. That's what the Radak says. Radak says, again, their punishment is an onesh lev. Okay? Kalei bechama, kalei ve'inomo. Right? Destroy them, Hashem. Put an end to them. V'yedu ki Elohim, Moshel be'Yaakov, and they will know that you are the God of Yaakov. La'afsei ha'aretz sela. For the ends of the earth. In other words, you will hunt people down wherever they are. Now, obviously, this pasuk seems to contradict pasuk 12. Pasuk 12 is, don't kill them. Pasuk 14 is, do kill them. How are they reconciled? How are they contradicted? So again, it's very clear that in pasuk 12 he says, don't kill them, draw out the punishment. But in pasuk 14, it doesn't say, don't kill them. It just says, put an end. Right? Kalei bechema. Right? Put an end to them. Make their evil plans against me stop. Don't allow them to go through with it. Punish them, but just punish them in a very specific way. Vayashuvu la'erev yamu kechelev v'yisovu ir. And again, they come each night growling like a dog's, roaming the city. Again, this seems like a repetition of one of the previous psukim. Therefore, says the Mitzudas David, how do we understand this? Harishayim haheim yanshu mida b'mida. That these wicked people are punished mida keneged mida. Just as earlier in the parak of Tehillim, they were circling, they were roaming the city, and they were encircling my house to kill me. So you should make them do that Hashem again. You should make them wander the city, going door to door, but this time not to look for me, rather, make them need us. Make them so desperate that they have to come back to us asking for food and for water. And so it's not a repetition, but rather it is almost like a play. It's a poetic play that exactly what they were doing last time to kill me, you should make them do it again, only now we are in the position of power and not them. Hema yini'un lechol, they will wander and search for food. Im lo yispu v'yalinu, and they're never going to be satisfied. They're never going to find what they're looking for. They're always going to be hungry. Now we come to last two psukim, v'ani, as for me, this is the conclusion of gratitude. Ashir uzecha v'aranein, laboker chazdecha ki aise miskavi, miskavli. Hashem, I will sing your praises. Every morning I will talk about your chesed, because you are the haven, you are the abode, you are the protective wall for me. Umanos bayom tzarli, and I always know that I can seek refuge in my time of trouble. Uzi elecha azameir Hashem, you are my strength. I will sing songs to you. Ki Elohim misgabi Elohei chazdi. Because again, Hashem, you are my haven. Again, that imagery of Hashem as that protection. Hashem as that force that's going to protect us even in the difficult times. Elohei chazdi. Again, Hashem, you are the God who does chesed to me. And again, we've spoken about in the past that notion that of Elohei chazdi, the God who's done mercy. It's really drawing upon our history of the same God that has always done history to his people, whether it's in Mitzrayim, right? You pick the story. Hashem has always done chesed. David says, that same you, that same God, that's who I rely upon. That's who I draw my faith upon. So again, it's a specific historical context. As I said at the beginning, those who look forward to a more like inspirational, this is not necessarily one of them. It's much more of a historical context of chapter of Tehillim. And yet I think that there are two very beautiful ideas that emerge from this. But before I get to that, I want to share one idea from a Chassidish Sefer. Who's he quote from here? He quotes here the Sefer Ma'amarim. I don't know who wrote it. But he quotes here a beautiful idea. What's this imagery of the enemy being like the dog? What is that imagery, right? Of all the things that you could associate as our enemies, why specifically a dog? So he quotes the Medrash, and the Medrash tells us the following. Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu ro de'eser ha'shoyim ela b'mate. That when Hashem wants to discipline the wicked, he uses a stick. Vilama, and why does he use a stick? Lefi shenimshalu leklavim. Because the enemies are similar to dogs. How do we know enemies are similar to dogs? Shenemar ve'yashuvu la'era v'yamu kechelev. Right again, that our pasuk in our chapter, that they're going to come back at night and they're going to be like dogs. Says the Medrash, Kishem Shadarko Shokelav Lilkos Bamakel, just as you hit a dog with a stick, Kachem Lokim, so too Hashem should take his staff, and he should hit the wicked like dogs. Again, what is the imagery of the dog here? So he quotes here beautifully. The reason why the Rishayim are called dogs is because Sherishayim Heim Birshus Libam. The Rishayim follow their heart. In other words, they do whatever they want to do. They follow their desires. They have no filter. They have no self-restraint. They have no ability to stop themselves from doing something. Heim birshus libam. Whatever their heart desires, they do. They want the cake, they get the cake. They want the girl, they get the girl. They want the guy, they kill the guy. Whatever they want, they do. Heim birshus libam. That's why the pasuk says, Vayomer Esav belibo. That's why it always says, Esav says in his heart, Vayomer Haman belibo. Haman says in his heart, because again, they were dictated by their hearts. Their actions were dictated by their hearts. Whatever their heart wanted to do, they simply went ahead and do it. Aval tzadikim libam birshusam. But tzadikim, it's not that they follow their heart, but that they control their heart. Their heart wants one thing, they're able to say, not the best thing for me. And that's why it says, Vayomer David el libo. David says, to his heart, because David is able to control his heart. V'chana himedaberes al liba. Chana spoke towards her heart. Again, the same thing. As opposed to Vayomer Esa bilibo, this is el libo, al libo, because they are in control of their heart. Vayasam Daniel el libo. Right? Again, over and over and over again, it's bilibo versus el libo. Who's in control? Is it my heart, my raging desire that's in control? Or do I have the ability of restraint? Do I have the ability to overcome that? He says, "V'inyanu delibo b'rishuso haynu shemashlit ha'moach el alev." Do I have common sense? Do I have restraint? Am I able to control my impulses? Right? Vayomer Hashem el libo. That's why it says, Vayomer Hashem el libo. Right? Shezeu inyan hamshachas haratzon lios ma'avara midosav. Do I have the ability to control myself? Therefore, he says, that's the real idea of a tzaddik. Eidzo hi gibor hakovesh es yitzro. The tzaddik is not someone who's dictated by their impulses, but the tzaddik is someone who is able to control all of that. That is a beautiful idea, why the Rishayim are compared to a kelev. A dog does what it wants, goes to the bathroom when it wants. It's dictated by desire. A human, Rishayim are like that. Rishayim, whatever they want, they steal, they kill, they whatever they want, they do. Right, a tzaddik is different. The definition of a tzaddik is someone who's able to control those impulses. I think that's just a beautiful idea that comes out from this chapter of Tehillim, a beautiful medrash. But if you had to describe the themes, what are the themes here? So again, the themes are, again, I think two ideas to take away from here. Is number one, that even in the darkest of times, even in the most precarious situation, who is David's concern? His concern is never for himself. But rather his concern is for the Jewish people. He's being chased. He's being sought after to be murdered. And no one's coming to his defense. And he has every reason to give up on these Jewish people and say, you know what, you're a bunch of ice farts. No. He says, Hashem, you got to take care of them. I'm not around to protect them anymore. You got to take care of them. I think that's a beautiful idea about David's selflessness, about what it means to be a leader, that you're always thinking about the people, even when the people fail you, even when they come short. I think that is a beautiful idea. And the next idea that I think is beautiful is the last two psukim. Ve'ani ashir uzecha ve'aronein leboker chasdecha ki ayisi misgavi li. It's David's faith. It is David's faith in Hashem's salvation. It is David's commitment to not just experience that salvation, but to sing and to share and to boast about that salvation. Right? When we experience the Yeshua's Hashem, can't keep it to our chest. We can't keep it to ourselves. We got to talk about it. We got to spread Hashem's kindness. We have to share it with other people. That is ultimately what David does, even in his darkest of times, even when he's being chased, even when he's in that precarious situation. Nonetheless, he recognizes the Yad Hashem, he recognizes the hand of Hashem, and he praises Hashem for that Yad Hashem as well. That is chapter 59 of Tehillim. Again, a very specific, acute story that David is going through, and yet I think some important, beautiful lessons that we can learn from David through this chapter of Tehillim. That, I wish everyone a beautiful day. We're back here tomorrow with our 3 ideas in 30 minutes. And again, after that, we are off for a number of weeks. So please stay tuned toward the weekly and to the Zoom WhatsApp group for the next time we will be meeting. It'll be in Elul. But until then, I hope to see everyone tomorrow. 3 ideas in 30 minutes. Have a